We'll go ahead and jump into it tonight. And we're going to be in Daniel chapter 9 here briefly. Daniel 9, we think we're looking at the end times. We're not sure. We're not sure of the title, but we're still continuing in the end times. And I know it can be a little bit labor intensive, a little bit challenging to follow and listen to and even study it. It's a little bit difficult, but if we will take time to study, it's not that difficult, it's not that hard to understand, and we know that we'll be greatly enriched and enlightened to know what's going on coming up very soon, I believe personally, in the end time and what's going to take place. Now, we already looked at the first event or the next event on God's timetable. It's not preceded by any signs or wonders. It's going to be an imminent thing, an immediate thing called the calling up or rapture of the church. That's all the saints, all the saved people on this earth be called up, taken out of this world. And then we looked at how that when we get up with the Lord, we are going to have a tremendous time with Him. And we're going to be at the judgment seat, the Bema seat, where we're going to receive those crowns. We're going to get to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, cast them at His feet. We'll get to bow down and worship Him and do all of those wonderful things. And then we'll have that marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's when we have a celebration. It's the bride, the church, coming down the aisle, and the Lord Jesus Christ as the groom is receiving the bride. Ephesians 5, he talks about that. And without blood, he wants to receive the church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And we're going to have a wonderful time. After that marriage, there's always, the banquet time, whatever you call it. And you get together with all the family, sit around, have a good time. And I can't wait for that time because that's when we're going to get to fellowship with all of the fellow believers and saints of the past. And we're going to get to see Moses over there and Elijah here and Billy Sunday might be over there in the back. And I don't know, Elvis Presley said he was saved, but I don't know. You think about some of these characters and other people, you know, and all of them, Abraham, and there'll be William Tyndale sitting over there. I just can't, isn't that going to be fun? It's going to be exciting. Not only that, but the loved ones that have gone on before us and grandpa and grandma, maybe mom and dad, brother, sister, maybe a child you may have lost. I don't know. That's going to be a sweet, sweet, precious time. And you don't want to miss it, by the way. Make sure you know the Lord. But now we're going to look at here tonight what takes place back here on earth while we're out of here. We're gone. We know that's called the Great Tribulation. There'll be 7 years of unfathomable, just horrific time on this earth. Now, let me read you here Daniel 9, verse 24. you may know these verses well, but he says 70 weeks are determined upon, notice this, thy people upon thy holy city. Now, he's talking to the Jewish people, okay? The nation of Israel in particular, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that's a little bit confusing, but you folks have already studied this, some of you have, and it makes sense. There is coming a time where God's going to come back and deal with Israel. Now, he's taken the saints off the earth. That's us. Now he's, as he has set them aside during this period, what we call the Age of Grace or the Church Age, which we have lived in from the cross until now, he has set Israel aside. But now he's bringing Israel back and he's going to begin again to deal with Israel. He's going to again work with Israel. Now, this is a tremendous a horrible time that's going to be on earth. But there's a little bit of a silver tint to this, and that is that many people are going to get saved as they come through this tribulation time. And I thank God for that. Personally, there are people that now will not accept Christ. They don't want nothing to do with the Lord. Until they see all of these events unfold, and they're going to go, oops, they were right, you know. And they're going to get saved and accept Christ. Now, they're going to have to live through this time, which is going to be terrible, to say the least, but they will be saved. Now, I have some things here we already covered. God resumes His program for Israel, as prophesied here in Daniel. He gave this timetable to Daniel. Notice he says the 70 weeks, as you know, are weeks of years. Now, Artaxerxes, king of Persia, gave the command to rebuild Jerusalem in the 20th year of his reign. That's in Nehemiah 2. Remember, he told Nehemiah, go back, go ahead and build it up. Build what you want to do, basically. And then exactly 483 years later, or the 69 weeks of years, the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and presented himself as king to Israel. He presented himself. They said, Hosanna in the highest. Here comes our king. Well, what happened just a few literal hours later? They said, whoa, hang on a second. We thought you would take over the Roman government. You would overthrow everybody and you would rule and reign on the earth. And Jesus said, no, I've told you otherwise. You weren't listening to me. I've come to seek and save that which was lost. He came the first time, you know, as a suffering lamb, and he'll come a second time as a roaring lion. But as he presented himself to Israel, Israel rejected the Messiah. Covered again in Zechariah. He says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Zechariah 9:9. And that's fulfilled in Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11. So as they reject him, then they cut him off and demanded he be crucified. With this, God stopped the clock of the 70 weeks and began now this intervention period. Now, some people don't believe in this intervention period. They believe that there's no intermission between the 69 and 70th. But we believe, contextually, as you cover and go throughout scriptures, that there is a break there. And we live and have lived in this break between 69 and 70 for this last roughly 2,000 years. And so anyways, coming back to understanding and believing that God has dealt with the church through this time. Now he's coming back to deal with Israel. I got a few things here, but this period's dominated by an unholy trio imitating the Holy Spirit. Again, anything Satan does is always an imitation. And by the way, it's a cheap imitation, isn't it? It's cheap. It's like buying a toy at the dollar store. Now we love the dollar store, but they're not good toys, are they? And the kids, they say, where can we go, Daddy? And I say, well, let's go to the dollar store. And they go, ah, because the toys aren't very good. It's a cheap imitation, right? And you think about everything he does. Now, he's going to bring up this, what you call an unholy trio. It's the beast, the false prophet, and Satan himself. We know in Scripture, Satan is embodied in the beast. The beast is known scripturally as the Antichrist. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. It's for Israel, for her king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a quick summary here, real quick. It's number one, it begins with the making of a covenant between the coming prince and the Jewish people. Now, this prince is going to come during this time, will be raptured out. There's a prince going to come, and he's going to make a covenant with Israel. He's going to say, I want to bring peace to you. I want to help you. And there'll be a great covenant. Let's write out a covenant together that we will be at peace with one another. We'll give you the land that you've been seeking. Blah, 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 blah. Well, according to Daniel, halfway through that, 3.5 years, right in the middle, I believe to the day, he's going to turn on Israel and he's going to say, we're no longer partners. Now, we've seen this in politics already. They promise all this stuff. You know, I won't raise taxes. I'm going to take care of you. I won't do this and that. As soon as he gets in office, what does he do? Pulls out the pen and starts signing his name and all these executive orders and taking care of things. This is what he's going to do. He's going to turn on Israel. Now, secondly, in the middle of this week, the prince will suddenly reverse his friendly attitude towards the Jews and cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Thirdly, the breaking of the covenant between the Jews and the prince will mark the beginning of this unparalleled desolations for the Jewish people. And at the end of the seven-year period, we'll bring to a close this series of 70 weeks, usher in the great blessings to Israel, as we read in verse 24. Now, several things here. I have a lot of information. I won't unload it all on you, but there's several things that were going to happen, including there's a federation of the states into a Roman Empire. Daniel chapter 2 and 7 talk about this, and I encourage you to read through Daniel again. You may say, I've read it through it 100 times, Brother Tim. I want to encourage you to read through it again very slowly and take time with it, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because there's a federation of states into a Roman government. One religion, one world order that's coming in this seven-year period. Today, there's only one entity or one place that still holds the name of Rome, right? We know that. It's the Roman Catholic Church. It's the only place, the only church, the only organization covers and carries Rome. Now, how that plays into all of this, we're not quite sure yet. A lot of people believe, oh, the Pope is going to rise and become the great prophet for the beast. I don't know that. But we do know that this is, by the way, it's the only place in the world that sits on seven hills, as talked about in Revelation. There's seven hills that Rome or the Vatican sits on, is in this part of the place. There's all that. We'll cover that hopefully another time. Anyways, as we think about, he'll rise to power. He'll make a covenant with Israel. There'll be a false religious system under the false prophet. Revelation 13 we'll hopefully look at. The pouring out of judgments, the separation of the 144,000 witnesses, the trumpets, the rise of the two witnesses, all of these things are going to take place leading to the great battle of Armageddon. Now, I said all that. We're going to cover that hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Let me get to this here. First of all, this will be a time of God's wrath. Now, this is spoken throughout Scripture. The Bible's clear in the New Testament. Paul says we're not appointed unto wrath. This comes back to, we believe, the pre-trib rapture of the believers. We're not appointed unto God's wrath. Moses spoke of this time of tribulation. Now listen to Deuteronomy 4, verse 30. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in, notice, the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord God is merciful, is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. This is back in Moses' day. God revealed to him what was coming. We know that. That's amazing. It's funny today that as the closer we get, people still can't figure out what's going on. Yet Moses knew, Daniel knew, Joseph knew, these individuals. If we'll take time to study the Scriptures and know the Bible, Jeremiah knew it. Jeremiah called it the time of trouble. We call it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Daniel described it, we know it, the worst time of trouble. He said in Daniel 12, he said, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. The Lord called it a time of great tribulation in Matthew 24. Great tribulation. Luke 21, there's great tribulation. So these things, again, are coming. And I don't think people understand the depth and magnitude of this, because you understand when us as believers are taken out of this world, we're the salt and light of the world, aren't we? We're reflectors of God's glory. We should be. When we're removed, unfathomable things are going to happen, right? Disgusting, vile. We say, well, it's already like that. Yeah, we don't know the depths, though. You don't know the depths of man's heart. You hear some of the things on the news, just disgusting things that man will sink down and do. And you can only imagine how that we're taken out of here. I'm going to feel real bad for those children that are of age to understand, obviously, and they wake up and mom and dad are gone, you know, and other people are gone and they're going, I don't know what to do. I can't imagine what would go on with there. And that's why we emphasize and push, obviously, for our children to, at the right time, right understanding, to know the Lord as their Savior. But so many things are going to happen, take place. The Lord called it a great tribulation. This, secondly, is a time of Satan's temporary triumph on this earth. Satan's going to get a time where he's ruling and reigning and triumphing, isn't he? This is coming. Now, Let's go to Revelation 6 here, and we're going to see a few things. Revelation 6, thank you for staying with me and listening. Revelation 6, as we're going to see here real quick, Satan's temporary triumph on this earth. Now, there's the rise of what we call the beast. Revelation 6, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened a third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld an old black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.' When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and the beasts of the earth." Okay, so anyways, these beasts are coming, these horses. Now, people often will ask the question, they never ask theological questions, they always ask, are there pets in heaven? Will my dog be in heaven? Will my cat be in heaven? We don't know that, but you think about it, there's horses in heaven, so that's a good thing. So maybe you have a chance. Maybe your dog will come running up and jump on your lap when you get there. That'll be a great day. You think about, notice this though here quickly, the rise of the beast. First of all, he has a white horse. Now, people often mistake and say, well, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets the white horse. No. Contextually, as you read this, the white horse is given unto the beast, the Antichrist. And this is fitting for him because Satan is who? He's a deceiver, isn't he? The Bible says he deceives the whole earth. That's his main modus operandi, is deceit. That's what he does. He wants to infiltrate inside of the church. He's not going to bring a man to the door with a gun and say everyone needs to disperse now. No. He's going to allow something into the church to try and divide the church. He's going to use us against each other. He's going to work in that way. Deceit. He always makes sin. Don't you ever notice? Why does sin always look so good? Doesn't it? Why do those things always seem so pleasing to the eye? And Eve saw that and said, man, that is a good fruit. That is good. Lot looked up and said, that is a well-watered plain. I do like that area. Do you mind if I buy that property, Abraham? He says, yeah, go ahead. You can have the better part. And he did that so he could get closer to sin. But you think about it, deceit. Now, he's going to deceive people. Many people, by the way, Jewish people, they're still waiting for their Messiah, aren't they? When they see that white horse, oh, there he is. There he is. He's come. He's finally come. He's working to deceive us. Number two, he has three allies. The red horse, which pictures war. The black horse is famine. And the pale horse is death. All three of these will work together to cause such annihilation and destruction on this earth. Thirdly, he has the help of religion. We'll read later in Revelation 17, he uses religion. And they will come, and that Antichrist will come and say, I am the religious leader of this world. You need to follow me. If you want peace, everyone's going to say, of course we want peace. You need to vote, put me into office, and I will give you peace. I will present to you peace. And he's going to bring all the Muslims together. He's going to bring all the Jews together, all the supposed Christian believers that are still there, together in a united alliance. And it's going to be under the guise of religion. Religion. We're going to serve. Fourthly, he has the help of God. Now listen to this. Now we understand God's still in control. He's always in control. He's going to let Satan have a little temporary time of triumph here, but he has the help of God. By way of, we know that at this period, that Russia, her allies, other people from the north, are going to come down and attack Israel as he turns his back on Israel. These armies will come down and they'll converge upon Israel. It'll be a war like we've never seen. But ultimately, God will destroy these armies. We know that. So there's the rise of the beast, the reign of the beast. Just a few more things here tonight. The reign of the beast. Revelation 13 talks about this reign. He'll declare himself as God. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, you know, he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He as God. He's an imposter, shows himself that he is God. Did I not perform those miracles? And they're going to say, oh, yes, you did. Did I not bring peace to the world? Oh, you did, yes. Did I not do all of this for you? Yes. Then worship and serve me and follow me. The more people Satan can get and keep from accepting the gospel, that's his goal, isn't it? There's something that we believe and has been said before. God has the optimum potential for salvation. He's working constantly in everyone's life to give the optimum potential to get saved. That may be for some people, and we know this to be true, there may be accidents in their lives to get them to come to Christ. You know, they're laying in a hospital bed somewhere, and someone comes in and says, you need to accept Christ. And they go, yeah, I do. I realize that now. It may be a loss of a loved one. It may be something in your life. God is working to bring that about. He's not willing that any should perish. Now, as we think about, he declares himself as God. The religious system will be destroyed, Revelation 17. An image of the beast will be set up in Jerusalem. Now, we don't know what this image will be, but I assume it'll be a satanic type of image. Satan worshipers use imagery all the time, don't they? They have the pentagram, they have all these other things that they use. The music stars of today, just recently they had an award show, and one of them came out wearing the satanic emblems and things. They didn't say, I'm a Satan worshiper. Why? Because they wouldn't have any, a lot of people would go, oh. But they're wearing all the symbols, all the he's going to set up an image. And we know we're to avoid and stay away from any kind of that. The Ten Commandments clearly. Number 1 and 2 talks about, right? First two commandments. Worshiping the Lord only. Not bow down to any other image. The image of the beast will be set up. We read this about Daniel 12:11, and from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. It should be 1,290 days. Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. By the way, the Bible was preserved and inspired for Jesus Christ. He believed that. He wouldn't have used the book of Daniel if he didn't think that. Why are you quoting from Daniel? That's not accurate translation. No, he took and received it. You understand what I'm saying. But spoken of Daniel, stand in the holy place, let him understand. Strong delusion, then, thirdly, will come from God. Strong delusion. He will allow that, a delusion from God. Now, I heard this said once, and I believe it to be true. People say, well, how can God send a delusion? That's kind of harsh, isn't it? No, I believe what he's talking about in that delusion is he's going to allow people to believe what they've always wanted to believe. He's no longer going to come and push against that, right? Or pull them, if you will, draw them. He's going to let them believe what they've always wanted to believe. You want to believe that? Go ahead. You want to believe and do your own thing? Go ahead. And they'll be deceived. There'll be no more of that work of the Holy Spirit or of God in this world at that time in their lives. So their delusion will come. He will have a prophet proclaim him and lift him up. Revelation 13. Now this false prophet will come. He'll be the propagandist for them. You know, in World War II, Hitler had a propagandist. I think it was Joseph Goebbels, or I think that was him. Don't quote me on that. But he was the promoter, Hitler. He wrote in the papers. He talked on the radio. He did all of that. He set up all those giant rallies you see in the news or in world history when you took history class. He set all that up. And Hitler himself was not an eloquent man. He was not a very intelligent man either. He was actually a very introverted, quiet man. But he made him. Hitler is amazing. He's our what? He's our Messiah. He's the Führer, our Messiah. And he lifted him up. This is what he did. He promoted him. This is what this man is going to do, this false prophet. He's going to promote him and lift him up, help him. And then they will promote a mark for every individual. I believe this is coming very soon. We're seeing a lot of this even today. I mean, how many have had a pet with a chip? Have you had a pet with a chip in it? And they get the chip. I don't know, put it in their skin, right under their skin. And if that dog or cat gets loose, animal control will come by with a little scanner and go bloop. And on his phone will pull up every single thing, every shot that dog has had, what its name is, where it lives, its owners, phone number, everything. And I thought that'd be kind of convenient to have one of those under my skin, you know, go to the grocery store, bloop, Yep. But they're going to promote this type of thing, and everyone has to take a mark. As we talked to our new missionary, he was saying that. You have to have the card verifying you've had the vaccine before you can do anything, travel or go anywhere. They're not going to, I think it's going to come to a point here soon where they won't allow you into the store, the supermarket, until you produce that. They're not going to allow you to buy online until you can produce a number, a barcode or a code that they've given to you in your as you begin to check out on your phone. So anyways, this is coming, the mark for everybody, a unification. Let me say here lastly, and I'll hurry, the fall of the beast. This is the greatest thing that we can think about as believers tonight. There's the fall of, he's not going to reign. This is just a temporary thing. It's temporary. You ever played with a bug before on the ground? Or maybe a stink bug or an ant? And they're going away and you put your foot down and kick them back and they'll stumble. They'll get back on their feet. They'll come back. They'll go the same direction, won't they? You kind of kick them back. You know, they fumble back. They think they're in control, don't they? But you're just playing with them. And you just, at any time, you can take them out. You can destroy them. And I was thinking about that. You know, God is still in control. And so many Christians tonight are so worried and fearful and scared. Now, we ought to be urgent with our loved ones that don't know the Savior and tell them, you need to get saved. You need to know the Lord as your Savior. Because of this time, God's in control. Psalm 2, verse 2, listen to this. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying this, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. They'll be in derision. They're delusional. They're all over the place. They don't know what to do. God in heaven is in control. He knows what's going on and He'll take care of business. God will send great plagues upon the earth. Great plagues. Earthquakes, fire, polluted water, pestilence, diseases. God will send His Son to destroy the beast, ultimately. We were a while back, we went out camping, and we had our little RV there, and we were having a good time until we realized we needed water. We thought, we need running water. So we had the tank in the RV, we filled it up with water, and we thought everything was good until we turned the faucet on, and we filled it with took a glass, filled it with water, and that, it was nasty. You know, you take a sip of it and you're going, this tastes really bad. I don't know what. And then try to get five girls to drink that. It's not going to happen, is it? And, you know, it's nasty. But I thought about that as I was studying here, about the pollution, just one aspect of the pollution of the water. If we didn't have water, we would be in a world of a mess, wouldn't we? We go home and just flip on a switch or the faucet, excuse me, and the water comes out. We don't think anything of it. There's people right now that are planning for tomorrow to wake up about 4:30, 5 o'clock and make a trek of about 5 miles up to some water hole somewhere with a basket or a pot on their head, and the kids are carrying some jugs to fill up water to go back home and have that for the next 2 or 3 days and then start back over and do it again. And we don't think about that, do we? I know I don't. But you think about just these little things. What's coming in this world, people will be literally starving to death and having all kinds of things. And I'll leave it at that. I won't go into detail there. But God will send ultimately His Son and to destroy the beast in a great battle of Armageddon. We're going to look at that a little bit, hopefully next week. Okay, don't quote me on that, but hopefully next week. We're going to look at that, the battle of Armageddon. This is an exciting time. Now, we're going to come back with the Lord. I can't wait for that. I hope we get something to fight with. I don't know. We get a sword, we get a bow, we get something. That's going to be fun. I'm being funny about that, but I don't know. We're going to come back with the Lord, and you know the millennium will come and those things. Now, this is a time of salvation and martyrdom that will happen. The gospel will be preached. We know that. The witnesses will come. The two witnesses, the 144,000, we'll look at that a little bit later. But many will be saved, and many will be killed. Again, those that will accept Christ as their Savior through this time will, no doubt, be killed. The beast, the Antichrist, will probably have these people come up and confess. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. Do you believe? Do you confess? Do you have the sign of the Antichrist? Do you have the sign of the beast? They'll say, no, I don't. I will refuse to accept that. They'll be killed. Most people that will be saved during this time will probably be martyred, will be killed. Very sad, very horrific. But you think about this time, ultimately, lastly, let me say, can be avoided. Now, this could happen in our generation. This could happen tonight. This could happen the next 50 years. It may not. It may be another 2,000 years. We don't know. We're praying that it'll happen in our time, don't we? But it could happen. But this time could be and should be avoided. All who are saved, we know that, will be taken and will avoid this time. We know. Now, details of the judgments are not immediately understood, but it's clear the whole world is being brought to the bar of justice before Christ is King. He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no escape of His divine judgment except for those who avail themselves of the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we'll see that. Now tonight, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Are you sure of that? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? You need to know that because there's coming a time very soon, right? We believe of unparalleled time, of horrific, horrific time. But we know who's on the throne. We know who's in control. And ultimately, we will rule and reign with our Savior. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And we'll cover some of that hopefully in the coming weeks. But I hope you're ready for that and prepare. Thank you for listening tonight and being so attentive, okay? All right, well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity tonight to share your word and those here that have been listening so attentively, Lord. And I know some of this can be a little bit laboring, Lord, but we need to know what's coming and we need to know your word. Help us to study your word. Some things are hard to be understood, but Father, we know that you love us, you care for us, we know you're in control. We know you're coming back for us very soon. You said that. You're preparing right now a place for us, as you promised in John 14. And we thank you. We would ask, Father, that if anyone here does not know you as their Savior, they'd make that right, handle that. If, Lord, there are others around us that don't know you, give us your strength, Father. Give us your determination. Give us your compassion to reach those people, as hard as it may be, Lord. We love and thank you, Lord, again. And thank you. Help those that couldn't be here tonight. We do pray you'd work in their lives, protect them. In Jesus' name we pray again. And amen.